Joining me right now here on the Knock On Sports, it is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. We have been previewing every Power 5 conference with Joe, and now it's time for who some might argue is the best conference still in college football, and that's the SEC. But Joe, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Anthony. We're about a week away from the start of the 2017 college football season. I can't wait. This is what it's all about. I'm chomping at the bit here.
The AP poll came out a couple of days ago, and we almost had a number one, number two matchup between to open up the regular season between Florida State and Alabama. But overall, the top 25 AP poll, did you have any problem with it?
No, I can see why the AP picked Alabama and Nick Saban. I mean, what can you say about that? I mean, they've been back-to-back national championship appearances, although I feel like Clemson and Dabo Sweeney will make it back to the college football playoff this year. They're sitting at number five. I don't have a problem with it entering 2017. The one team I would say that is a little overhyped and overrated at this point, in my opinion, happens to be Ohio State, sitting at number two. I think Ohio State to be at 8-4 this year. I think they have major offensive losses and the defensive losses to the three starters in the secondary, Lattimore, Connolly, and Hooker, I think will be huge for this team entering 2017. And I'm selling the Buckeyes this upcoming season.
Well, that's the thing, Joe. I kind of agree with you. I was a little surprised to see Ohio State at number two, and considering the deficiencies that you talked about, what's being missed there, or is this being judged off base of last season?
Well, I think it's the fact that Urban Meyer coaches up talent. It's very uncharacteristic for Ohio State under Urban Meyer to really lose more than one football game in a season. I mean, over the last 3 years, they've only lost three football games. So I think when you look at it overall, people just expect it. And I think that that's the problem entering 2017, is that when you take a closer look at the offense and defensive losses this year, they're glaring. And even though he recruits top five talent, that top five talent now has to go out and perform not only on an individual basis, but on as a unit. And to find cohesiveness and continuity, especially in the early part of the season, is where I think you find inconsistency. And when you look at their first two opponents, Indiana and Oklahoma overall, those are not easy matchups to start the year in any way, shape, or form.
Joe, let's move on from the top 25. The SEC, let's talk about them. What do you see for this conference overall?
Well, I think when you look at this year, the one thing that really stands out for me is the quarterback play. I think the quarterback play, not only within the SEC West with guys like Jalen Hurts, Danny Etling, and Austin Allen at Arkansas, and newcomer Jarrett Stidham, who comes with a lot of fanfare, will be solid players within the conference. I think when you look at the East overall, their quarterback play, guys like Jacob Eason, guys like Drew Locke, Johnson, at Kentucky, Jake Brantley, those are some players that really could step up and really catch this conference by surprise. And I think when you look at the quarterback play from top to bottom, I think the East might have more consistent quarterback play than what we see over there on in the West with teams like Alabama and LSU.
My featured guest as we talk college football only a week away from the start of the season. And Joe, let's start in the SEC West. We talked a little bit about Alabama, but for Nick Saban, I mean, for this team and for this defense, it just feels like they don't ever have to really rebuild. It's always just reloading season in and season out.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think when you look at this team entering 2017, Anthony, they lose 36.5 of the team's 54 total sacks with Jonathan Allen, Tim Williams, Ryan Anderson, Tomlinson, Reuben Foster moving on to the NFL. Those are huge losses entering 2017. And when you look at the defensive secondary, guys like Marlon Humphrey and Eddie Jackson, their losses, I think, will be huge at the early part of the year, especially in that week one matchup against Florida State. You have a new offensive coordinator and Brian Daboll. I've always said that when you have a new offensive coordinator, you're seeing the game through a different set of eyes. What I mean by that is, the new coordinator has to understand how that talent responds in game situations. He has to call a game plan around that talent. And more importantly, the new coordinator might be more or less aggressive than his predecessor. And in this case, Lane Kiffin was one of the best in terms of utilizing formations to get his playmakers involved in space. And I think that's the one thing that Brian Daboll will really have a challenge in 2017. And the second thing is third down conversions. And over the last two games for Alabama in 2016, they struggled in third down conversions. They were 4-14 in the victory in the playoff against Washington. That was 28%. And in the national championship game, they were 2-15 against the Clemson Tigers. And that was really one of the factors why Clemson was able to win that ball game. When teams forced Jalen Hurts in the pocket, he was an inconsistent passer. So that's the struggle I think you have for Alabama as a fan moving into the 2017 season. I picked them to win the division, but I do feel that they could be a 9-3 team this upcoming year.
Joe, for the Alabama Crimson Tide, where's the running back, or do they have a skill position player at wide receiver, even tight end, that's really going to be able to help out Jalen Hurts?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you look at Calvin Ridley, who really led that team in receptions with 73. He had a sort of a back year in terms of a production from a yardage standpoint. Expect him to be the main go-to guy. They have a guy in Jerry Jeudy that's a younger player that came on in the spring game. Keep an eye out for him. But you lose Ardarius Stewart, you lose tight end O.J. Howard, and you lose Garrett Dieter, along with offensive tackle Cam Robinson. So those are huge losses for that offense. At the running back position, they're loaded. They have Bo Scarborough, they have Damian Harris, that was a 1,000-yard rusher, and they have Najee Harris, that is a 5-star recruit, to add depth to that core. So from the skilled running back perspective, they are loaded, but we'll see from a continuity perspective how it plays out in the early part of the year.
Joe, let's talk about LSU. And for the Tigers under Ed Orgeron, is there high expectations for this team going into his first year as a full-time head coach?
There really are. And when you look at the addition of offensive coordinator Matt Canada, he's really going to have to start fast, especially in their week one game against BYU. They'll be without defensive end linebacker Auden Key. But I really feel that the key to LSU is not so many how many times they pass per game, but when they pass. Are they aggressive on first and second down with coordinator Matt Canada? Is he aggressive on those play calls to loosen up opposing defensive fronts, which will then, in fact, open up running lanes for Darius Geis later in the matchup? I think Darius Geis, the key to LSU's offense is Darius Geis, his ability to run the football. They were 6-0 last year, Anthony. Every time Darius Geis rushed for over 100 yards, I mean, that happened against five FBS opponents, and they were able to win those games by 26.6 points per game. So that's the key to the offense, along with the health of quarterback Danny Etling. So we have to see how that plays out throughout the year. But when you look at the defensive front seven as well, their ability in run support, they held 5 of 12 opponents last year under 100 yards. They were 5-0 in those games and won those games by 24 points per game. That's a key statistic for this LSU Tiger defense heading into the new coming season, and we have to see how that plays out throughout the SEC West. I think they have the ability to challenge for the SEC West title against Alabama, but it's not going to be easy, but it will come down to both Darius Geis and Danny Etling's ability to challenge opposing secondaries.
Auburn has been a team that's frustrated a lot of people. They've had high expectations and not lived up to it. I mean, ever since Gus Malzahn's first year where they went to the national championship, it hasn't been a stable consistency for this program, Joe. For Auburn, what do you see for them?
Yeah, I think it's a mediocre year for Auburn and Gus Malzahn. I'll say this. Jared Stidham comes from Baylor. I think he's more of a system quarterback. They tried this experiment 2 years ago with Jeremy Johnson. It did not work. They have a new offensive coordinator in Chip Lindsey. This was an offense that was predicated off of running the football, Anthony. In 2013, when they made it to the national championship game with quarterback Nick Marshall, they rushed for 328 yards on the ground. In 2014, it dipped to 255. In 2014, it went to 255. 2015, it dipped to 196. They got it back up to 271 last year, and now they want to change that type of offensive mentality with Jarrett Stidham. They only had one game over the last 26 games where Auburn passed for over 300 yards. It came in 2015 against Ole Miss and Chad Kelly. You look at the defensive side of the ball, in the first seven games of the year, that secondary only allowed 198 passing yards per game. Auburn was 5-2 overall. Over the last six games, they were 3-3. They allowed 265 yards passing to opposing offenses. That's the matchup that you want to see play out for Auburn throughout the SEC. I think this is a mediocre team at best. I think they're 7-5. And when the losses on the defensive side of the ball to Montrevious Adams and Carl Lawson that accounted for 12.5 of the team's 25 sacks, I think that's a major reason why Auburn is 7-5 in 2017.
Joe, considering all the things that have happened with Ole Miss, how far is this team going to fall?
Now, unfortunately, I picked them at the bottom of the SEC West prior to Hugh Freeze resigning as head coach. I picked them one aspect that you look at for Ole Miss is on the defensive side of the ball in terms of their front seven. They allowed 7 of 8 SEC opponents to rush for over 200 yards. You're not going to win ball games, especially in the SEC, when you can't shut down the run consistently. They have Shea Patterson, who's a dynamic quarterback, but now with Hugh Freeze's resignation, on top of all the negativity surrounding the program, I think Ole Miss finishes at the bottom of the SEC West in 2017.
My featured guest, and we're talking college football with Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. Now we're looking at the SEC East Division, and Florida has won this division the last couple of years, Joe. Let's start with this team. What do you see for Florida in 2017?
Yeah, very impressed with Jim McElwain's done on the defensive side of the ball, especially over the last couple of years, Anthony. Last year, they held all 13 opponents under 58% completion percentage. They held 7 of 13 under 50% completion percentage. I mean, that's a dynamic statistic over the last couple of years when you look at the type of talent that they have lost. The one MO for Florida offensively is not only who will play quarterback. I mean, some have said it's Malik Zaire or Felipe Franks. To me, I think it would be Luke Del Rio if he's healthy. I think he gives them the best chance to win, but we have to see as fall camp plays out in the next couple of weeks. They're going to be without Antonio Callaway. They suspended seven starters for the week one game against Michigan, but more importantly, they need to run the football consistently. They only averaged 128 rushing yards on the ground last year, and over the last six games in 2016, they did not have a rushing touchdown. Going to put a lot of pressure on the offensive line and, more importantly, the quarterback to make plays if they can't run the football consistently. I think this team is 8-4 overall in 2017, but I like their chances week number one against the Michigan Wolverines.
Let's focus on Georgia for a second. For this team, they got the quarterback now. What do you see for this team?
I expect them to win the SEC East this year, even with Jacob Eason at the quarterback position. They have possibly two of the most dynamic running backs in college football, and Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and that defense really stepped up in 2016 under Kirby Smart. They held opposing offenses to 144 rushing yards per game, only 183 passing yards per game, and more importantly, they recorded 23 of the team's 29 total sacks in the last eight games of the year. I think that's a dynamic statistic when you look at it overall. I like this team. I like what Kirby Smart's doing, and I think this team steps up in 2017 and wins the SEC East.
For Tennessee, Butch Jones has been a guy that's been able to bring in talent but hasn't been able to win the East at Tennessee. Does Tennessee have a chance to really challenge Georgia and Florida?
No, I think Tennessee is 6-6 this year. I think major losses on the defensive side of the ball. This is a defense that allowed 218 rushing yards per game last year. With Derek Barnett and Jalen Reeves-Maybin in that lineup, they allowed four opponents to rush for over 300, 353 to Texas A&M, 409 to Alabama, 443 to Kentucky, and 420 to Missouri. You look at the loss of Josh Dobbs, who, in my opinion, did not have a significant road win as a starting quarterback in Tennessee history while he was there. I don't count that road win as a Hail Mary against Georgia. So this is a team that I think will struggle in 2017. I'm not sold on Butch Jones's ability to coach up that talent. And when you look at the losses of Josh Malone, Alvin Kamara, and Jalen Hurd, I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Volunteers to succeed. And more importantly, I think they lose their week one game to Georgia Tech in the Atlanta Dome.
Joe, for the rest of the SEC East, who's a dark horse?
I think Missouri, Anthony. I really like that ball club in terms of what Barry Odom has in terms of a nucleus from an offensive perspective. In 2017, he has a quarterback in Drew Locke that threw 23 touchdown passes. He has a 1,000-yard rusher in Demaria Crockett, and he does have possibly one of the best wide receivers in the conference in Jamon Moore. I think they could outscore people this year. The one concern for Missouri overall is their front seven. They allowed 232 rushing yards per game last year to opposing offenses. But I think they could step up, and I think they could possibly be bowl eligible. I picked them at 7-5 for the 2017 season.
Joe, for your prediction for the SEC, who wins this conference and likely will be a member of the 14 playoff?
Yeah, I'm going out on a limb. I think it'll be the Georgia Bulldogs. I think it's Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game. I like what Kirby Smart has in terms of athleticism on the front seven, and I'm picking the Bulldogs to win the game in Atlanta and, more importantly, make one of my top four teams in the 2017 college football playoff.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. We've been talking about the SEC and previewing the Power 5 conferences leading up to next week's opening week of the season. Joe, if they want to follow your work, how can they do it?
Well, they can follow me on GoForTheTwo. That's the number two, Anthony. They can follow me on Twitter at GoForTheTwo. That's the number two. And the show just got picked up by Dish Network, so they can follow me on channel 266 every Saturday morning, 9 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be breaking down every key matchup within the top 25 and major conferences.
Joe, that's awesome. Congratulations on that. And again, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Always enjoy talking college football with you.
Anytime, Anthony. Love the show.